have any hair, but he's just a few years behind me. So what a privilege. Isn't it a blessing to be a part of the body of Christ? If you know the Lord today and we sit and we share these requests and we can go to our Father for each other, isn't that a blessing? And I'm not even from this local family, but I'm part of the family, you know, and all over the world. That's one of the blessings of reading our missions letters, is reading about folks. I don't know them, but I'm praying for them because they share a request, and it's pretty awesome. And so it's sure a privilege to be here today. When a pastor has you come and preach and he's never heard you preach, you know, that's quite a step of faith. So I'm sure you've listened after I came, because that would say, I'm not having that guy back again. But yeah, we do. We go back 30 years, I guess. 30 years ago, I graduated high school. So we go back 32 or 33 years. I know. I told someone, I love having my wife with me because she takes 10 years off my life easily. All right. And but anyway, such a privilege to be here. Thank you for the hospitality. We've enjoyed time with your pastor and his family, and it's been good to rekindle old friendship. We talk on the phone quite a bit. We have in the past few years, but to get to spend time with him and his family, and for the Prophet's Chamber and the snacks, thank you so much. Great. And then to be invited to somebody's party. Who was it? Was it Richard? Was Richard having the? Man, that's awesome. I got to get the details on that. Richard? All right. I just see me afterwards. I got to get the time on when we're having that. And I appreciate that. And great. This is a hospitable church. Amen. All right. Anyway, enough of the nonsense. This is my wife, Amy, and I'm so glad she could be with us. My daughter, Olivia, is with the teenagers. She's in ninth grade. We have a daughter that's a junior. And she is traveling on a school trip up to the Creation Museum and the Ark and the Cincinnati Zoo and Bearing Precious Seed Ministries up there where they print the scriptures. You're probably familiar with that. And so she's not with us. Our oldest daughter, Michaela, is at Bible College in California. And then our son is 22, and he's in town there in Greenville and works construction, a foreman for a company there. So Olivia is the only one with us, and I start feeling old as my kids start leaving. Y'all, you know what I mean? So anyway, turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. We have enjoyed our time already, and we haven't even got to the important part, the Lord's Day. I hope you have some friends coming. And let me encourage you with this. If you don't have any friends coming, maybe you've invited, they weren't able to come. I'm not worried about if you make me feel friendly, all right? If you make me feel welcome. But boy, if you have any guests today, let me encourage you to love on them and just let them know that they are the guest of honor. And just extend a hand of friendship and love and fellowship to them. People need to feel like when they come to a church, hey, I feel right at home here. I could see myself belonging here. So I'm going to encourage you. If you don't talk to me, I'm okay with that. I won't get offended. But be sure that you talk to the guests that the Lord allows to come today. And be praying for the Lord to work in hearts. You know, He's got to work. And His Word has got to find good soil in their heart. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. And I was in my garage. And I'm looking through my garage. And I started noticing, look at all of these oils. I've got Or oils or oil byproducts, you know. I've got Poulan two-stroke weed eater oil. I've got four-cycle something. I'm not an oil guy, but I just, off the top of my head, I've got four-cycle motor. That's different than the two-cycle, you know. So you got to use that for a different motor. I've got REM oil for my rifles and my pistols and stuff like that. And I've got liquid wrench penetrating oil. I've got 3-in-1 oil that I put on the bike chain yesterday because it was locking up. I've got some 5W20 standard oil for the van. I've got 5W30 synthetic oil for the truck. You know, I've got some grease that I put on the wheels of the garage door that's jammed shut right now, so we can't park our car in there. I still don't know what's wrong with it. The grease did not fix it, you know. But if you have any garage door tips, you could see me afterwards during the barbecue, all right? And but we've got a Pro Select 4-cycle engine oil, all these different oils here. And then you move into the kitchen. Oh, man, ladies, I'm just going to name a few that I know are in there, and there's probably a lot more. You know, you got canola oil, you got vegetable oil, you got coconut oil. Coconut's on the rise. You know, its values are better than the other ones, I guess. And you've got olive oil in the spray for cooking pancakes or waffles, and, you know, in the liquid to mix in. And it's critical. What happens if we don't have oil? You know, if we don't have oil, things bind up, don't they? Can you imagine our life without oil? We wouldn't have cars. We'd be pedaling still, you know, or hitting the horse. You know what I mean? Because we've got to have that oil, because it provides a lubricant. It provides that things will run smoothly. If you run out of oil, you're going to be buying a new engine. That's just the way it is. Well, when we look here at the passage, do you know that there is a spiritual oil that we need? Without oil, there's a lot of friction. Things get hot. Things get bound up. In Ephesians chapter 4, look with me at verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I left out, there is a craze going on that I left out when it comes to oil. I don't know if any of y'all are into it or not. I think I heard somebody say it, essential oils. Can I see a show of hands? Do any of y'all have essential oils, or you use essential oils? Amen. We have a representation. They work, I'm telling you. But I'm not a commercial, or I'm not selling essential oils, you know. And I mean, they've got a book, and you can buy that thing, and it'll tell you what to mix and what it fixes and all this stuff. And that's great, and that's a great natural remedy, and I'm fine with it. You know, my pastor, he just makes fun of it, kind of, until he needs it. And then he's like, his wife uses it, and she said, Jenny mixed me up something, and it worked. And so he has to admit that it helps, you know. Essential oils. Can I tell you this, though? The essential oil is the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is nothing moving or going forward in our lives and in the work of the ministry. You know, it says the Holy Spirit, it says that he is, no man cometh except the Spirit of Christ draw him. Folks are drawn to Christ through the Spirit. In salvation, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we're baptized, not talking of water baptism, but we're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. We're joined into the body by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, everyone, that seals us. Three times the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit seals us at salvation. So there is a work that he does before salvation and at salvation, but then there is an ongoing work then that he begins in our lives as the Holy Spirit. And so he says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The unity of the Spirit. You know what that says to me? That says, here we are, the body of Christ, all these different people, all these different parts, and there can be some friction if the Holy Spirit is not at liberty and freely able to work the way he wants to work among us. Amen? And that's essential. That is the essential oil, is the oil of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that for every believer, your pastor needs the power and the presence and the filling of the Holy Spirit as he stands up here to preach? You understand that? But do you know that on a daily basis, no matter where you're working or if you're retired or if you're just shopping, you need the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit every day. It's not just for your pastor. It's not just for those that give the word. It's for every believer. Do you know it is freely and abundantly available? There's not any, oh man, I wish I could have more of the Holy Spirit. No, or I wish the Holy Spirit could have more of me. No. He says that any one of us can freely have the Holy Spirit controlling and working and moving and leading in our life. It's freely available. And then if you and I are going to function effectively We're going to have to submit to His authority and to His direction. We have these plans and thoughts and what I'm going to do, but you know what? The work of the Lord is a Spirit-directed work. It's not a man-directed work. It's yielding to Him. So how does that, what does that look like? Well, in Ephesians, he talks several times about it. In Ephesians 5:18, he says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Every one of us would understand, we're all adults here, we've seen it. We've seen the effects of somebody being drunk with alcohol. And that how that takes over control. And they no longer are making the decisions, but the alcohol is making the decisions for them. He says, in that same way, you be filled, you be yielded to the control of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he begins to accomplish things that Doug Weber can't accomplish when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It's essential. And we sometimes move that into an optional category. Well, man, I'm getting along okay without him. Are you? Do we have any idea what he could do through us if we would be filled with him? We don't. If we're operating in our own strength. It's a command that we be filled. It's not an optional thing. Not only that, in Ephesians 4:30 it says, "And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed." Grieve not. This tells me this, folks, that the Holy Spirit, as He directs in my life, He has a will, He has a plan, He has a direction that He is trying to accomplish. And there are times where I grieve Him because I say, I'm not going that way. I'm not doing that. Does the Lord ever prompt you to make a phone call, to write a letter, to, if it's maybe you've said or done something and He says, hey, you need to go talk to that person, you need to get that right? That's not just human nature. If you're a child of God, that is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And here's what sometimes we do because of our pride and because we're not filled with the Spirit, we say, no way. You know what that person did to me? You know what that person said to me? And we grieve him. We tell him, no, I'm not going to do that. He says, grieve not the Spirit of Christ. Obey. Yield. Don't grieve him. He also says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit ought to have liberty to work and to direct in our lives, in our services. Well, what's the opposite of the Spirit of Christ? It's my flesh. It's my flesh. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 6 through 8 about the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, and that we're commanded to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the deeds of the flesh. And boy, I can quench the Holy Spirit when I'm not yielded to His control, but instead I am yielded to the workings of my flesh. And He commands us. He says, don't do it. Don't grieve Him. Be yielded to Him. In 1 Peter 1:22, to obey and to yield, he says this, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, what brought all this about? The Spirit. You have obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Can I tell you this? If there is friction between us, then the Holy Spirit is not at liberty. Then the Holy Spirit, you can safely say the Holy Spirit is not in the middle of that situation if there's friction. Because the Holy Spirit, He allows things. And that's what Paul says here in this passage. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Wow, that was a whole bunch of words about you're more important than I am. How can I meet your needs? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, we haven't talked anything. I don't know that there's any conflict. I don't know if you're sitting on this side because they're sitting on that side. All right? I don't know if anything of that's going on. All right? But I'm just saying that the Lord put this on my heart as we think about that in order for the church and the body of Christ to function effectively, there has to be the control and yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. How many of you have a sore knee or hip? Anybody? I won't have you stand up because you got a sore. Yeah. It's a lot of us. You know what I mean? I had knee surgery. I turned 40, and the next week I had knee surgery. And I was going along, and my decree was, I'm just gonna press on, and nothing's gonna catch me age. So I was hiking the Appalachian Trail with our teenagers every summer, 50 to 70 miles, and we would ski in the winter, and I played sports. It was great. And then it happened, and I'm like, well, and my exercise and mobility has gone downhill. It wasn't going to catch me, but it did. So I have this problem. I have to get my knee loosened up. You know what I mean? I have to bike, and I have to get whatever is in there to loosen it up. They'll give you shots. Some of you know that. They'll give you shots that you can put in there, and that'll loosen it up because things get bound up. The body of Christ can become that way sometimes too, when we're not controlled or led by the Holy Spirit. You know, he produces, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, 22 and, or 5, 22 and 23, that the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit, it's one fruit. It's not a smorgasbord, you know what I mean? Let's see, I need that one. No. The fruit, the Holy Spirit produces in us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. All of those are wonderful lubricants for relationships, aren't they? Love. How can that not bring peace? You know what I mean? Joy. Any of you like being around a sour person that complains all the time? Man, that person, they're my favorite because all they do is complain. No, joy. But boy, I love to be around somebody that's encouraging. Peace. You like conflict or peace? I like peace myself. You know what I mean? I have four kids, and we're entering more predominantly into the peaceful years. You know what I mean? We're coming out of the conflict years, you know? And just kidding. They're great kids. But you know, if you had kids, it's inevitable that there's conflict. You know, love, joy, peace, long suffering. Well, that's something we've tried to teach our kids. All these things we try to emphasize, the Holy Spirit solves them when I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's the need here. And then I think of this in relationships functioning properly, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what he's going to produce, peace. And then, boy, we saw this demonstrated this week, the Holy Spirit produces forgiveness that can be offered abundantly. He says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. It's putting you before me. It's putting the cause and the name of Christ in front of my endeavor, in front of the battle that I think has to be fought. No, I'm just going to forbear, and I'm going to put you first because there's a greater thing at stake than me. If you've watched the news at all, you saw this story unfold about Amber Geiger. For the last 2 weeks, she's been on trial, and this week she was convicted and sentenced. 18-year-old Brant Jean demonstrated to the world what only the Holy Spirit could accomplish in a life. Many of you saw it where he's sitting on the witness stand. And he says, I love you. I don't have any ill will. I wish you didn't have to go to jail. Something like that. I don't have the exact thing. But I love you. And he said, what you really need is to trust Christ. I wish that you would put your faith in Christ. He says, Judge, could I give her a hug? This is the girl, the police officer, that mistakenly went into a room, not hers, the floor above or below, and shot this innocent man. Never should have happened. She's guilty. I mean, she was guilty. And you can weigh out the motives. We don't know the motives. She's guilty. And this young man says, can I give her a hug, Judge? And the judge gives permission and goes over and hugs this one that murdered his brother. Huh. How's that happen? That's the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit giving liberty and freedom to forbear and to demonstrate that fruit of the Spirit on display for the whole world. The whole world. And I mean, it was, I'm on social media a little, but it was on the news everywhere. It was all over the place. What a demonstration. What a billboard to the world. This is what Spirit-filled Christianity is. This is what it looks like. But for that to happen, believers, you and I have got to die to ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can fill us. I don't even want to think about being in that situation and having to make that decision. You understand? I mean, that's heavy to think about. But the glory that Christ gets from a believer that says, this is not about me. This is not about the pain and the sorrow that I feel. This is a great opportunity for Christ to be exalted. Lord, what would you have for me to do? How would you have for me to respond? And I'll respond. And that's what that is. It's amazing. So he produces the fruit of the Spirit. He allows our relationships to function smoothly. He allows us to offer forgiveness. Is there anyone in here who doesn't need forgiveness? Anybody? I need it. No interviews with my wife, please. All right? I need it. I need the grace of Christ that the Holy Spirit offers. It allows us to offer that forgiveness. And then comfort. Or the Holy Spirit, He gives us comfort. He's the comforter. He comes in, He's the God of all comforts. And so He comes alongside. The word is paraclete there. And it means one who comes alongside. And He comes right beside us like an invisible companion attached to us to enable us to endure the situations that have been shared in prayer requests. How am I going to make it through these situations? How are you going to make it through these situations? Well, I have a come alongside friend, the comforter. That if I will allow Him to, He will walk with me through these things. You know what we need, church? We need the presence and a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit here. Today. Today. Can I ask you this? Do you have any relationships that there's a lot of friction? Most of us do. You know what we cannot say? Well, Pastor, listen. You do not know what. Doesn't matter if I know. The Lord knows. And in these commands that He gives us regarding the Holy Spirit and in these qualities that the Holy Spirit brings, there's not a clause, except in Bob's case, because they were treated this way. You know what I mean? There's no clauses in there. He just says, this is how I want you to act. This is what the Holy Spirit will produce if you'll follow Him, if you'll listen to Him. He provides grace. He provides comfort. He provides direction and guidance. We need Him. For the body of Christ to function properly, oh, how we need the Holy Spirit. I asked you a moment ago, are there any areas of conflict in relationships that you say, you know what, I need to get that settled? You know, we're having friend day today here. The Holy Spirit needs to have liberty, does He not? To work in hearts. Can I encourage you, if there's anything, if He's spoken to you about something that you need to get right, get that right today. If you have a chance to go to that person, if they're here today, or it may be that after the services this afternoon, you call them and you get that settled. But the Holy Spirit wants to have free reign in your life. He wants to allow your life to function smoothly. Properly, for you to hear His guidance and His leading. So can I ask you, are you yielded to the Holy Spirit? Are we grieving the Holy Spirit at all? Anything that He's spoken to you about, you need to get that settled. And He's tapping on that relationship, tapping on that sin maybe. maybe something, I didn't even speak about it, say a word about it, but the Holy Spirit, can I tell you this? This happened to me years ago, early in our relationship. We were at Beaufort fishing with a guy, not in our relationship, early in our ministry here, and Kyle had just been born. Kyle was a baby, and a fella invited us down to fish with him. This is how the Holy Spirit works. It's wonderful, but it hurts, you know, but it's great. He invited us down. We stayed overnight. Sunday morning, we had to race back, literally, to get there for Sunday school. Should have gone back Saturday night, but we said, well, that's okay. We'll stay over. And so we're racing back, and we're going over the bridge there on the way back from Beaufort. And a police officer comes over, gives me a ticket. I'm on my way to church. I'm a pastor. I mean, you can't. This was 22 years ago. And Sunday morning, you know, hey, that thing lifts up. How about that? That's pretty neat. Right there. I'll just leave it alone. I'll smash my finger on there. Well, you know what? That happened. And the Lord right away, the Holy Spirit said, you better get this other thing settled. What? The Lord was trying to get my attention. And the Holy Spirit said, you better get this other thing settled. All right, Lord. Do you know what I did? I didn't settle it. 6 weeks later, this is just how the Lord was getting my attention. 6 weeks later, I pull out of our church and I'm driving down the road, Greenville Boulevard, 50 mile an hour zone at that point. It's down to 45 or 35 now. But 61, I mean, I'm not a mile and a half from the church. And I got another ticket. I was like, what in the world? What's going on here? I pull in there and he writes me a ticket, and then I tell him, and he found out I was a teacher at the school there, and he's like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Then he felt bad. It was too late. He'd already recorded everything. He's trying to help me, and it's too late. But you know what the Lord, it was not an accident. The Lord said, you better get that settled. I got it settled. I said, I can't afford this. You know what I mean? I got it settled. We have, I'm saying this, if the Holy Spirit has been so gracious to tap on something in your heart this week, you've heard tremendous preaching, I'm sure. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something this week from one of the great messages you've heard, you better obey Him. How good that God would give us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us and says, be filled, yield, don't quench. And then we ignore. Oh, man. We've got to, for us to function as the body of Christ, for souls to be saved the way they ought to be, for the church to go forward, for you to have the marriage God wants for you, for your family, everything. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you today with that. What a blessing that He's given us His Spirit to dwell within us. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Lord, we're grateful that we can be together this morning. We can open Your Word. And Father, we're grateful this morning for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, would You speak to our hearts today? May we be obedient. May we yield, Lord. If You've spoken directly about anything, Father, I pray this morning we would listen and we would get that settled, Lord, that Your body, all of us together, could function effectively, that You would have the liberty that You long to have in our lives, and that we could bear fruit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.